You're listening to The Creative and Passionate Cat, hosted by Antoine Erold.
Welcome back to Creative and Passionate Podcast. Today we're with Shade. She is a podcast host and she's also an entrepreneur. And so today we're going to learn more about her. So for those that may not already know you, can you just introduce yourself to the audience?
Sure. Hi, guys. I'm Shade and I've been an entrepreneur since I was 15. So I'm 33 now. So okay. I've been at it for a while. Yeah. I think I was inspired by my mom to do it, honestly. And okay. Also, I'm a really passionate person. So working for corporate for me was going to have a determined end because I'm okay. very driven. I don't like glass. I don't like ceilings.
Yeah. The glass ceiling. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, talk to me more about how long were you in corporate for? When did you take a leap and say, you know, I'm just going to become an entrepreneur? Or were you entrepreneurial at 15? Like, what's the transition from 15 to corporate? Or
it's kind of crazy because I actually started trying to make money as a 9-year-old. I was I was modeling and I was like, man, I wonder if I could just sell stuff. And this was 9-year-old me. Mm-hmm. And my mom, an entrepreneur herself, was really supportive of it. She was like, even though I was way too young to run a business, she was like, I'll help you with how this goes. And she kind of inspired a motivation that I don't think I would have gotten from anyone else, you know, in a lot of ways. And so I think the fact that she really didn't put any sort of, oh, that's a bad idea, you're too young. I started a business, even though I was way too young, using, you know, she was the one who registered the business mm-hmm. and whatever. And it was something, I'm almost embarrassed to talk about it, which is funny based on what I actually do now. I'm not really a shy person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I loved parrots at the time. And so okay. I would make custom toys for the birds. Well, it grew so much in its first year or second year, actually. It was really the year it took off. I was selling to a store, but then I kind of lost interest in making the toys all the time because I had other things on that I was doing just because I was young. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And my mom was like, you should try selling your business. And I had no idea what the context of that meant, but I did. And I utilized that money to further me into when I started my own business as an entrepreneur. Now I still needed someone to do the paperwork because I was underage, but at 15 is when I started dog training.
Okay.
And I, at the time it's interesting because I was working for corporate when I started dog training, okay. right? So like initially, I'm still under the age of 16. I'm getting dropped off at work. And
for dog training.
Yes. Okay. And simultaneously getting dropped off at appointments to private clients that I'm getting on my own. And I'm charging not a lot. Mm-hmm. But I loved it. And then I realized that despite my age, I was really good at it. And I wasn't intimidated by the fact that there were people older than me doing it. So I immediately latched onto that passion. And so I started working with rescues and trying to make dogs more adoptable because, mm-hmm. you know, that was really, I was working with X-racing greyhounds at the time.
Okay.
And that started my passion. I've always been passionate about animals, but that's actually what started the beginning of me building businesses. Plural, different types. Mm-hmm. I actually do business advisement now as okay. like one of the things that I now offer because I've been at this and I've done it right and I've done it wrong and I've learned from a lot of other people and experience speaks volumes, but you should always be learning. And mm-hmm. I love to learn. I am in that way, I feel like there's business enough for everyone. but you can learn from each other.
Yeah.
And so I never really, I don't think I ever felt the competition because I'm already a competitive person. And I was like, this is what I do. This is what I offer. And that never really polarized. I'm still that person now. I just really took things and ran with it. I ended up going to college and weirdly getting very, very sick. I actually had to put my school career on hold because I was so sick for a while. But in the midst of that, I had like this life-threatening illness. And when you're told, and this was around the time I was going to college, I left to go to college early because I graduated high school a year early.
Okay.
I was homeschooled for 9 years. I went to a private school for 9 years, the equivalent of a private school, really, because up in Connecticut, they're all like very small classes.
Yes.
And we lived in a great area, but when we moved down to Florida, the school system, anybody who lives in Florida and doesn't send their kid to a private school will know that this is true. There aren't great schools here. So my mom, really emphasizing education, was like, I'm just going to figure out what, she's an entrepreneur. She was like, I'm just going to figure out how to do this and give you the best education possible, which I'm thankful to both of my parents that my dad worked and my mom homeschooled me because I was able to channel those passions. When I was in school, I was always told not to be creative. And it is literally that level of creativity that drove every business I've ever made because every one of them started with a passion and they've all been successful, which it's not that there weren't failures. Mm-hmm. It's simply that there was more, you know, I never actually failed. I learned. Does that make sense?
Good. Yeah, that makes sense. So, what was your definition of corporate? Because it sounds like you were in it at a young age.
Yeah, well, I actually continued because I thought, well, okay, Now I've got experience and I had already gone to college and I was like, let's dabble, right? So I went and I was working for Tom Ford because I was a model for a long time. I mentioned that earlier, but I actually started young. And when I went off to college, it was a great way to fill my time and make some quick money. Mm-hmm. So I really got involved in the fashion industry, but I really didn't behave like a lot of models. I wasn't doing drugs. I wasn't partying. I was thinking about how I was going to get the next job and not in a, I need to pay for drugs sort of way, I have a bigger plan so that I can actually run this shit one day kind of way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that is just who I am. Nobody put that there in me. I realized that because my father is nothing like that. He likes to work for someone else. He likes something laid out for him. I like to control my own schedule. And when I worked for Tom Ford, I had a tremendous amount of leeway. The whole reason I took the job was because I loved fashion. I was essentially a creative buyer for them. So I would work with designers from all over the world and find pieces that nobody had ever seen before and find out if that was going to be a fit for the line. It was a great job and the pay was amazing. And they were, you know, it was like all the things that I thought I would want. But the problem was, is that despite the fact that I was running the whole, I was in a place of power. I was working and not fulfilled in an emotional way. I really loved the job and the people I was working with. And I still to this day love the brand. And they have nice things to say about me as well, but I realized that going into an office every day is just not my jam. Mm-hmm. Even if I'm traveling to another office or a new studio, like I want more flexibility than that. And it definitely, I mean, I wasn't a parent at the time. I am now. And that would have definitely thrown that out the window because my son is everything to me. So it's like, I work around him, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm. That makes
sense. That's the biggest reason why I'm an entrepreneur still.
So to this day, how many businesses do you have? Is it all under the same name or you have multiple businesses?
So, okay, let's count it out because I won't count the job I just took. I'm working, I have a business partner who I'm styling and coordinating photo shoots for him. So still staying in the fashion industry in a more luxurious sense, I would say, you know, I get to make the decisions. I get to decide where things happen. And I get to be creative. So both of those really work for me. I happen to really like working with him.
Yeah.
But it isn't corporate either.
No, it's just as a consultant basically or.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have a really great partnership and we work very well together. But let's see, I consider both of my podcasts businesses because they both accrue income that is not from a single source. Like they both earn. That said, they're both in their third season and they're both completely different. So I'll consider both of those only one business. I have a store, an online store.
Okay. E-commerce?
Yep. And
what sort of store or?
So it's a kink store. Okay. But you know, it's an acquired taste and there were things I just felt like weren't available to the BDSM community. And I love to research and find things. So I curate things and work with private individual creatives. Okay. So I will find someone who, for example, like dyes their own rope and I'll work with only them. So I'm a little bit more selective. I don't just want a product. I want something that no one else has because I like things that no one else has.
So it's like a specific product. Like once the product is gone, it's gone, right? Or?
Well, no, they continue creating that product for me, but I try and find something that you're not going to find on Amazon.
Okay. Got it.
It's intentional.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing, let's see, what else am I doing right now? Oh, book narration. I do consulting for podcasts and people in the audio industry. There, once upon a time, I used to sing. I do not anymore. Okay. Turns out that I, despite loving it, lesions on my throat because of range is just not going to be a thing. So I always wanted to make money on my voice. And I said to someone, and this was 3 years ago, I said, you know what? When I start this podcast, and this was the Dog Guru show, it's like, when I start this podcast, I'm going to go into it with the intention of not having a single listener pay, but still making bank on the show. And I fucking did it. And so once I did it once, then I started a network and I helped other people do it. And then the network got to be a little bit too much for me because I was running the whole damn thing. So I don't do that anymore. But I do produce, I do consult. I mean, what's the number right now? I mean, I am one of those free-spirited people that I don't work as a VA. This is what I can do. And I'm not advertising. You basically find me via referral.
Referral-based, yeah.
I consult with veterinarians. Once upon a time, that was my job. I am fully retired from that. I don't do that. You know, again, that's a form of corporate, right? Because you have, well, you have state regulations, you have government regulations, and then you have the regulations of the clinic, which is usually more, there's usually more than one. I worked with a non-for-profit clinic, so because I really believed in what we were doing. But there again, there was a piece of me that wasn't fulfilled because I wasn't just doing my own thing.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's several businesses, I guess. I didn't count, but yeah.
I don't either. That's why when you asked, I couldn't even give you a number offhand because I'm always busy. I'm an insomniac who barely ever sleeps and have been since I was a teenager. And I think it actually makes me more productive.
Yeah, probably. I mean, you're more awake than most people, so.
Yeah. Not to say I don't get burned out. There's a reason I stopped doing behavior modification. I used to do complex behavior modification for dogs. That's the company I used to own in another state. I don't do that anymore. I do consulting in that regard. I'm not going to train your dog now. So.
That's good. So talk to me more about the podcast that you started. Your podcast 3 years ago. What has been the podcast journey like, and what has it been like to monetize the podcast? And what sort of, are you just driving people off to like an e-com store, or is the podcast itself monetized?
No, the podcast itself is monetized in both cases. I had a production company for podcasts. I closed it because it honestly doesn't pay very well.
Okay.
Or it didn't in my case, because
that's fine.
So it was just one of those cases where I had all of this knowledge and it was a passion of mine. So I was like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm just going to try it. But here's the thing. Most people will say you can't make any money on a podcast without selling a product or ad space. That's not true.
Okay.
What's true is your content has to be so valuable that no one else has.
Okay.
There, for example, I have two podcasts. There are other dog training shows. There mm-hmm. aren't any others like mine. And I'm not saying that because I say it. I'm saying that based on other trainers who have heard the show or who had their own. I consider that a compliment. So when you have something that you know has value to it, you don't just turn around and sell it. You hold on to it and let it grow as an asset. So that's what I did. I continued building a community around it. I didn't focus on the Facebook group. I did have one, but I don't like Facebook. You'll learn about me that being socially, if I could make a choice, I would not use social media. I do it solely for work purposes.
Yep.
To me, social media is all fake. I haven't seen a lot of truth come through a social media screen. A lot of people get outed on social media, and that's the closest we get to the truth. So for me, it's a facade from the beginning. I would rather get a client on the phone and you hear in my voice the authenticity and make a choice on your own.
Yep.
For me, I believe a client knows the truth when they hear it. And if they buy it, great. If they don't, I'm not your client. I'm not your client. And there's this weird thing that you go through in especially as a podcaster, where you're like money hungry. And I know a lot of podcasters get into it. Do not get into it for the money. Mm-hmm. If you are not fully passionate of your content, it will run dry. You'll get burnt out, because it is a lot more work than people think if you do it well. If your audio content is good, if you are actually doing your homework and providing valuable information, you're going to try a lot of things. There's going to be growing pains. If you listen to my BDSM podcast from 3 seasons ago to now, it's unrecognizable. And not just because I've changed as a person in those 3 years, it's been 3 years.
Okay.
I've changed. She's changed. I have a co-host for one of my shows. Mm-hmm. She's changed. Evolution takes place. And if you embrace that, people really run with it because you're telling them a story. So rather than focusing on ad space, because mm-hmm. I did that, rather than focusing on sponsors, because I did that, I actually contacted 2,000 sponsors personally in the course of 2 years. It was a waste of time, because mm-hmm. guess how many podcasters also do that?
Everyone.
Everyone. It's not good advice. If you want great advice, feel free to hit me up. I do still consult. I just don't run the whole show anymore. You know what I mean? I've got 2 shows of my own. I'm making it. You know what I mean? I'm not, what's his name? Joe Rogan or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
But my show is an asset, and it's an asset because of what we talk about. It's not everybody's cup of tea. I warn people about it on the forefront. It's completely different. And for a very long time, I still don't have it on my profile.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because I'm ashamed of it in any way. It's because I have a handful of relatives that don't know what I do. Pretty much everybody else does. Everybody in my immediate family knows.
Mm-hmm.
But being a dominatrix is not always well received. And I don't pro-dom anymore, which is that's something I didn't even bring up as an entrepreneurial business, simply because I'm no longer pro-doming. Mm-hmm. I'm currently in a relationship that prevents me from doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So as things, you know, I take things as they run, and I feel like anyone as an entrepreneur needs to be ready to ride the highs and lows, because there will be both.
Yep.
And it's not just with your podcast. some episodes you're going to trash, and you should, because if you don't love it, neither will your listener. You have to believe in what you're doing. My co-host in the case of my BDSM show, it's called the Daddy Issues Coven, if you guys are interested. And Daddy Issues is spelled with a Z, so don't miss the Z. I purposely did that.
We'll share the links based on the show notes.
Oh, thank you. That's really kind of you. Yeah. I made moves. I put the I tried it all. You know, I tried doing both of the shows have previously been on networks, and they're both off of networks now.
Okay.
It's not that I didn't get exposure. Sure, I did. It's not that I didn't have a community. Sure, I did. It's not that I disliked the podcast that I shared a community with, or vice versa. It was that I wanted more. I was hungry, and I've never stopped being hungry. And I feel like if you are a business person, a podcast, if you know to follow a business method rather than what you hear in a podcast group, mm-hmm. you're going to do better. When I started advising for podcasts, a lot of my clients were former clients of other editors and other podcast specialists, however they were called or whatever. And you know what I told them? I was like, I'm going to explain something to you that you may not have heard. I won't take your business if I can't help you. Because I don't feel like there is something that anyone, because I've been screwed over before, mm-hmm. I don't believe in selling people rainbows. You tell them the truth. Mm-hmm. They either want it or they don't. And here's the price. This is what it's worth to me to work with you. And I do discovery calls because I don't want to work with every client. Some of y'all are high maintenance. I'm at the point in my career where I've got income. And that's where I feel like every entrepreneur should reach. It's not that I'm famous. I'm not. I have built a handful of brands that no one taught me how to do that. It was trial and error, but I have learned so much and asked so many questions from people who have done it well and poorly that I made moves of my own. I made choices that were different. And each thing that I did ended in success. It's not that everything is successful when you start, and it's not that you will keep every company you begin. Because like I found out with the podcasting business, people don't want to pay for their podcast, period. They really don't. They want all the information for free. I'm sorry, I ain't free. But I am very knowledgeable. And I won't just waste your money for hours at a time. I want you to have your, I'm going to ask you lots of questions in a discovery call so that our next call we're working and you're getting results. So for that reason, I actually don't have unhappy clients because I won't service them if I truly just don't think it's a fit. And I tell them that up front. I was like, there's somebody else who will take your money besides me if we're not going to work. And it's not personal. It's either this can work and I can offer the service that you truly need and the value you're looking for, or it's not what I offer. People take stuff too, especially women in business. They take things way too seriously. Business is business. Keep it on the table. I don't even really like the phrase, you know, what is it? Something to the effect of
under promise and over deliver, or
that's it. Something to that effect. Not my most eloquent moment, my people, but in truth, that's really it. It's true. You know, I mean, to be a good dominatrix, let me tell you something. Marketing as a dom is really hard because no social media is, even though you're not having, in my case, I didn't ever have sex with clients, which it might be surprising to a lot of people. In fact, they weren't even allowed to touch me. So, you know, there are things in every business that you will learn, but marketing is everything. Marketing is everything. You have to have a solid business mission and strategy, and you have to figure out who your client is before you ever open, and be ready for falls. Because if you're not ready for the hard stuff, You think getting to work and working overclocked, you know, and underpaid is hard? Don't start your business. It's about to be harder. It's a different kind of stress because it doesn't go away. In my case, I was fortunate enough to automate my businesses, right? I was fortunate to be able to do that. Not everybody can automate their business. And not all of my businesses are fully automated. The story is, my podcasts are not, for example. I refuse to turn over that editing to someone else. I'm too much of a, you know, they're very personal to me. But I think I did things differently, but I tried a lot of the things that you would hear about in a podcast group. And I just found out that's not the way to go. Not just for me. I tried it with a peer group with different types of mediums of podcasts all over the globe. Like, you know, we had a crime show, we had a comedy show, we had a spiritual show, we had a show about, you know, difficulty with conception. These were all different walks of life coming together, you know, video gaming show. I mean, just everything. Mm-hmm. And what I can tell you is they did this stuff too, and none of them profited. I mean, they were happy to get maybe $15 a month. I don't even look at $15 a month. That's nothing. You should have enough value in a podcast that you would have selling a business. Mm-hmm. Sell it like a product. Your podcast and content and you are your product. If you're not engaging, if your audio quality is not good, you're probably not going to get a lot of listens. You definitely won't get a lot of subscribers, because even if your content is good, if your audio quality is bad and your presence is poor, people won't listen.
So what did you do that's different? Like, are you allowed to reveal it or not? Or
say the last part again. I heard everything except review something.
Yeah, are you able to reveal what you did, or are you keeping it as your best kept secret? Or
I mean, it's not my best kept secret. You just have to pay for it.
Okay, got it. All right.
You know, it's not my best kept secret. I learned that strategy is everything in podcasting, but you don't go about it with podcast strategy.
Okay.
You brand.
So basically, treat it as a business. Treat the podcast.
Yeah, and you have to go in. You really have to listen to, one of my best pieces of advice for people are listen to shows that are doing well, like the top 100. Yep. Now, a lot of these shows are very highly produced. Mm-hmm. Okay. By the time I finished my narration book, it sounded like it was done in a studio. Mm-hmm. That's the level of quality I turn over when I'm done. Now, my podcasts, I'm a lot more candid. I purposely don't remove errors when I'm speaking on my BDSM show, because I really want people to know this is relatable. I'm a real person. I'm a mother. I am a single mother. I am one of those people who has had to make it or break it, because if I don't make it, everybody's going hungry, and I've got dogs, horses, and a kid, like I can't, and a house. Like I really can't let the ship sink. So I can empathize with really wanting to make money, but I can tell you two things. It's not going to happen overnight. And if you don't have the time to devote to it and you aren't driven to make changes that may be uncomfortable, you won't make money on it, because you're up against people like NPR and Joe Rogan, and they have just endless hours to create whatever they want. All they're really doing is being personalities now.
Yep.
So what I focus on too, aside from content, is being not somebody necessarily likable, but being myself. On the BDSM show, it is a completely unabridged version of who I am.
Okay.
And on the Ask Your Dog Guru show, it's a professional light. It's like I'm still wearing my lab coat. I don't offer any, because I'm not licensed anymore as a veterinarian. I walked away from that on purpose. I retired. But I still use my degree in that my undergrad was psychology, which is great for my BDSM show, because a lot of my domination style is psychological BDSM. But then we've got the Doguru show, if anybody, a lot of people didn't, they're only now drawing the connection that I'm the same person. That's how key. See, you can have more than one show and have more than one show and more than one personality. If you feel that you can host, and if you need a co-host, you both have to be 100% to make money here.
Mm-hmm.
This can't be a side job that you're gonna do drunk.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be focused and you have to be driven, because I'm gonna tell you straight up, I worked 3 years to make the kind of money I am now making on my shows. 3 years of sleepless nights. And one, I mean, the Doguru show, I honestly, when I first started, I was doing it on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Audio quality, it was like a 15-minute show. I was just talking about information, because I felt like I had walked away from the dog training business and behavior business. I loved it. I loved what I did, but I now had a child. I couldn't have aggressive dogs anymore
mm-hmm.
to work with. It was dangerous for my son. So I closed the business. I retired and went to Florida, like old people do.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom unfortunately had a stroke, and so that my parents live with me at the minute. So life got real, right? I closed a business and I thought I was going to be fine. And if I was only supporting myself, I probably would have been, or even just me and my son. But mm-hmm. at the time I was in a relationship with the father of my son, I was, closing a business that I had opened as a teenager and just let evolve as I went through college. I just intensified the therapies and treatment plans and services that I would offer. But after I retired, I still had all of this knowledge, and I was a stay-at-home mom and I wasn't doing anything. I was like, I'm just going to retire. I'm just going to chill on the beach and hang out with my kid. And within 2 months, I was bored. Not of my son. I loved having him, but I was just like, oh my God, I am restless. I have all of this drive to work and make money. And that drive just didn't evaporate when I became a mom. And so, but now, because he was so important to me, even before my ex and I ended things, like, I kind of had a sense that he wasn't going to step up, because like when he needed to be the breadwinner, it never really happened. And so that was a rude awakening that I actually can't retire. And this person that I was hoping could take the reins couldn't. So again, my survival instinct just almost like kicked back in. And I was like, I need to do something that's going to be something I really enjoy. It's not going to burn me out. Because in the dog training industry, you take on a lot, especially when you're working with aggressive or anxiety cases. In truth, you are guiding a client through trauma themselves, not just the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a therapeutic approach, just like I now do with horses. There's another business I currently offer. And I'm great at it and I love it. And I picked it because I love being in a barn around horses, and I've seen 1,000 trainers out there. They'll beat the hell out of an animal and get nowhere. I want your animal to understand a partnership, because like us, I feel like if you have respect, you'll get it back. And animals have always shown me that. People, not always. Animals, always. So I wanted to give back to the people who, when I was running my company, couldn't pay my retainer. And I did it for free. It was a passion project. I was sitting at home recording from my phone. The audio quality was probably total crap, but the information was still good. And I didn't expect to, I didn't promote it. I didn't know anything about promoting a podcast. I knew a lot about marketing a business, but nothing about promoting a podcast. So that's where I began following all of this advice you see in these groups or from podcast advisors or whatever they call themselves. I'm not trying to shit on you, by the way. It's just, in all honesty, if one of your clients became mine, it was because you didn't provide anything. Because what I offer is straightforward. This is what you need to do. This is what it takes. I'm not going to do it for you. I'll tell you how to do it. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to be easy. It's going to take time, but it does work. Every person that has followed the plan of attack that I've proofed it at this point. Because with all of these different medias on the network, all of them have monetized in whatever way they felt. Like, I would give them a few options because I don't feel like there's a one size fits all. Mm-hmm. And all of them have different content. So much like a client in behavior, I really tailor essentially a treatment plan, a plan of attack, a strategy that will work for them. And if I don't think that they can make it, I'm honest with them. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is what you need to change before you should be investing in someone like me.
That's good. So it sounds like you have a lot of things going on. So how do you manage all the different things?
When you've got a couple of hay burners and a son that eats more than a truck driver that's only 4 years old, I mean, my son eats as much as every adult. I mean, more than me. So that is my drive. That's how I do it. I don't sleep a lot. My mind has always been very active. I got bored in school. I think it was a blessing that I was homeschooled, because when I was in school and it was like a small class and everything, I just hated working through someone else's routine. What was interesting about being homeschooled is a lot of people think you're going to be sheltered and poorly socialized. And the reality was I had better social skills than any of my peer group that was still in school, because I was doing adult things before they ever even got into the adult world. By the time I got to college, I had already graduated a year early. But what I didn't tell you is my mom stopped teaching me. I was teaching myself, submitting my work to what's referred to as an umbrella school and making straight A's. And I was just like doing all of my work in like 3 hours a day. And the rest of the day, I just chilled out. Or I would go to the dance studio for hours at a time. Or I would go and play with my dogs or work with the rescue. Like I'm an only child, mm-hmm. right? So as an only child, it's like you. And you find ways to fill your time. And sometimes, like, I wouldn't say that I had a horrible home experience, but let's just say I was motivated to leave home early. And it wasn't great. I was happy to leave early. And so those are my motivators. And right now that my family has stabilized, now I'm actually in the process of leaving. You know, they're okay now. They don't need me. And my son still does. So I think that that's why, even if there isn't time, I make it. And as a mother, as a parent, when you're really invested in your kid, especially if you're a single parent, you realize being chief cook and bottle washer would be the short list. Mm-hmm. But if you love your kid enough, it doesn't matter. Like, I would sell my horses for my kid, and I would never sell my horses. I mean, I've actually literally, when I went through, I've been married and divorced. Mm-hmm. And when I went through my divorce, my ex, I didn't even know what a piece of shit I was divorcing, honestly, at the time. I just thought he fell out of love with me, and I couldn't figure out why. I thought I did something wrong. That's all very personal and not really relevant. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is, I was finally on my own. I had no one else's check to depend on. We didn't have children together. The father of my son and I were never married. Okay. So, like, this person and I had like a 7-year relationship, and I was all of a sudden in a state, literally a state, where I had no friends that weren't mutual and no friends that really knew what I was living with. And I was still afraid to find my voice. So I just kept my head down and started working, and I threw myself into that. And I have to be honest with you, it really hurt my dating life, not because I was busy. Mm-hmm. It did, I mean, guys don't really like you not having a ton of time for them, but it is extremely intimidating to men if you are, I wouldn't call myself an alpha female, though they've said that. Mm-hmm. It's more that I need somebody who wants to rule the world with me, not stand in my way. Mm-hmm. that's a defining factor. So if you don't understand why I'm going away to go to this conference to further mm-hmm. my education, to be a better provider of service and education for my clientele, then fuck off. I mean, and I feel like I did everything I really wanted to accomplish. Wanted to make money by just sitting in a chair talking, did it. Wanted to work from home, doing it. Wanted to work on my own schedule, doing it. Wanted to travel, doing it. I mean, I literally said to my partner, I was like, I want to travel the world. Let's do it together. You know, you have to set dreams and not walk away from them. Everybody fails. I have failed. I have literally spent all of my money on a guy who then broke up with me because his mommy told him to over smoking weed. I am the highest functioning stoner you'll ever meet. And surprise, do I sound like I'm incompetent?
No.
All of my clients know that I am authentic with them. I don't advertise that I smoke weed, but it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter because I'm going to give you the best of me, of my quality of work. And if it is not a fit for you, I respect that. There is work for everyone. I don't believe in competition. This is what I am. And I feel that as an entrepreneur, that is what started making me. That's the difference between running your own business and being successful mm-hmm. to me. It isn't the hours you work and it isn't the money you make. It's how you do it. And are you happy with how you're doing it? You don't have to do it the way I did it. There's 100 ways to run a self-run business or automate a business mm-hmm. or make millions. Okay. With e-commerce, I had a few stores. There's only one that I kept. I'm now a Shopify partner. If you want to have advisement on that, I do that too. I feel like information should be available. I am not free, but I purposely don't overcharge either. I tell people what I used to tell them when I was a dog training client. My home run is you don't need me forever. You should be feeling not only satisfied with my work, but with the product that you receive, or in this case, produce. Or is produced, sure. You know. I'm not going to edit your show. I'm past that. My time is valuable. I've overvalued beyond there now. And it's not that I feel that – I'm not arrogant, okay? I make mistakes. And I am the first person to admit when I'm like, oh, that did not work. It's why I feel like my clients like me. It's like, I'm going to warn you if I think this might be a misstep. And you can make the choice. It is still your call to make. It's your baby. I'm just an advisor, but I'm not telling you for me. I'm telling you for you.
So just some final thoughts for those that would want to get in contact or want to listen to the shows, where can they visit the show, and where do you have a website or anything like that where they can reach out to you?
So a couple things. So the website to contact me about my a la carte services, those that I mentioned, and I also build websites. I've been coding since I was 15. So, and I'm actually running a promotion on websites right now. So if you're interested in building a website, I'm great at it. And I do have a client list who would be happy to speak with you. But so that's something I'm running right now. But the podcast you can find at anchor.fm/daddyissuescoven, which is ISSUECOVEN. Sorry, guys. It'll be in the show notes because I haven't had my coffee yet and I think it's starting to show.
Okay.
And then my dog show you can find at anchor.fm/dogguru, I believe. I'm going to send you the link. Yeah. Oh, I'm horrible at plugging myself.
Yeah, everything off in the show notes,
apparently. Yeah. But if you want to get in contact with me directly, I'm going to give you my email because I'm happy to offer advisement on anything you've heard today, or even if you're curious about some of the topics that I brought up, I'm a very, very straightforward person, and I always do a discovery call before you pay me, and that's free. So, but that all said, if you want to contact me directly, I would prefer you do it to my personal email, which is darkshadequeen@gmail.com. That's the best way to reach me. I check it every day.
Awesome. So I appreciate having you on the show, and I look forward to speaking with you soon.
It's been my